listening to the PW Torch Livecast Raw Postgame Show here on Monday night, December 14, 2015. This is Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell, taking your calls here on the Raw Postgame Show. I'll be joined in a second by PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. And what a Raw we have to discuss, good, bad, or ugly. It's very newsworthy. And if you've not seen Raw, or if you tune into our postgame show to find out what happened on Raw, new WWE World Heavyweight Champion is Roman Reigns. They went from Reigns being fired, fireable last night after TLC to Reigns as WWE Champion. That's what happens in three-hour Raws. It is a lot happened. So how we got there is a lot to explain. Read about it at PWTorch.com. We will talk about it on tonight's show, but that is the top story. Roman Reigns is the new WWE Heavyweight Champion. No shenanigans. Well, I mean, there were shenanigans, but nothing like a Money in the Bank cash-in to cancel Reigns winning the title. He is the new champion coming out of the show by the end of the show, and we will see what happens next from here. But all of that coverage, plus all the TLC coverage, all that at PWTorch.com and on the VIP website, PWTorchVIP.com. Not a VIP member, you want to become one, get all the coverage of TLC. We have our roundtable reviews posted on the VIP website. All the great content from Torch Editor Wade Keller, plus Pat McNeil, who we'll talk to in just a second here. All that at PWTorchVIP.com. If you're not a VIP member, PWTorch.com/GoVIP is a place to go. Plus, I got to drop this announcement at the top of the show. Torch Editor Wade Keller is back on the Stone Cold podcast this week. They are recording that on Tuesday. So, absolutely nothing to talk about, of course, on Wade's return to the Stone Cold show. But, no, seriously, that's a lot to discuss, and Wade will be back on. He's got a busy Tuesday. Wade has a live cast here tomorrow at 5 Eastern at PWTorchLivecast.com, and he's recording the Stone Cold podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, check that out this week on Stone Cold's podcast. And help me break down tonight's big Raw. PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Pat, how are you tonight?
I'm doing all right, James. Hello, you people.
Hello, indeed, Pat. Wow, what a show.
Yeah.
New champion, Vince McMahon comes back. Roman Reigns is all over the show. What's your takeaway? Here we are, instant reaction, Pat, right after the show is over. What's your takeaway from new champion, McMahon returning, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think they made the right decision. I think they probably made it, you know, 4 weeks later than they should have. But Sheamus was not cutting it as champion. They just couldn't have left him as champion going into the Royal Rumble and had people care. So I think that they made the right move here. I'm impressed. They decided to bite the bullet and do that. You know, they didn't care what was happening on Monday Night Football. Obviously, they decided they needed a change and they needed it now. And I think it's a positive move. I understand that they wanted to wait on Reigns winning the title until WrestleMania, but you can only screw the character over so many times before people stop paying attention.
Yeah, and that's why I thought that they would have, well, I thought from a booking perspective what would make sense would have Reigns be off TV for a while, selling the firing, building anticipation for him coming back, but that would be if you had a lot more time. And obviously, for the point you made about Sheamus, they don't have a lot of time to wait on Sheamus to kind of catch fire as champion. And they went the complete opposite and had Reigns all over the show and ended up winning the title by the end of the night. So, yeah, I mean, Pat, it felt like we've got to have a new champion. We've got to have him now.
Well, plus they couldn't – I mean, the bit where they fired Reigns, they could have made that work, but then who's going to work the house shows? I mean, you know, and more importantly, who's going to carry Raw and SmackDown? Because there aren't a lot of other people there to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, John Cena is supposed to come back into the year, but, I mean, they
probably
couldn't wait 2 weeks, you know, for Cena to come back.
Yeah, but I mean, Cena's talking about, you know, I need to start, I'm going to start winding down this career, which is, I mean, that could also be Cena saying, you know, I need a nice new fat contract here if you want me to keep going, but still, you know, you have to, with all the injuries Cena's had in his career, you got to take him seriously when he's talking like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, being on top for 10 years on the bumps and bruises, yeah, I mean, maybe they saw that interview, Wall Street Journal ran an interview with Cena with those quotes you mentioned, and I have no idea if that contributed to the decision to put the belt on Reigns tonight, but I'm sure they're reading that.
No, probably didn't.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're aware of Cena thinking like that, and they said, oh, well, I guess we got to put the belt on Reigns or do something with somebody besides. And we can't wait for Cena, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, plus Cena's out there, and he's got a few months off, and he's probably thinking to himself, you know, this bit where I don't have to go and get a new rental and get out on the plane every day and then get a new rental car and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is I can go around and do movies and TV and whatever I want to. You know, this isn't so bad.
Yeah, I mean, and he's found a niche with the little comedy supporting roles. Maybe he's like, well, you know, I could live off of this for, yeah, you know, the rest of my life. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like he's going to get, you know, he's not going to be The Rock. That's not, you know, the Rock's in every action movie ever now.
Right.
But, you know, you can make a good living in Hollywood being an actor and doing supporting roles.
Yeah.
And between him and his girlfriend, they might have a little money saved up.
Oh, certainly, yeah. We know Cena does, being on top for 10 years, for sure.
Yeah.
Pat, what did you make of the decision to bring back McMahon? Was that necessary for this, and the idea being that we've got to have a major figure opposite Reigns, and Sheamus isn't cutting it.
Yeah.
Hunter and Stephanie are okay, but, you know, like I said, if they want to make a new top star, it's like they had to bring back the top heel in the company, and that's Vince McMahon, you know, just the way it is. What did you make of that aspect?
They wanted to get everybody's attention. They wanted yeah, what happened, which is, you know, people sending word out, hey, Mr. McMahon's back on Raw. What does he look like? Can he still walk under his own power? You know, that sort of thing.
I was a little nervous for him trying to get back in the ring at one point. He kind of struggled to get in the ring.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's no longer a young man. I mean, that's obvious, and he couldn't really bump for the Superman punch. He had to be holding onto the ropes, which is what the cowardly indie manager that I used to play would do in a situation like that. But I mean, this it was the right move. You got, you know, over the course of the past two nights, you've had Roman Reigns, beat up Triple H, and he beats up Vince McMahon, and And I was wondering why nobody came to his aid last night, so that tonight he could overcome all the obstacles himself and get the victory. And I think, as we got closer to the end of that match, people are starting to think we might have a title change here tonight, and that's usually good for some crowd attention. Plus, on top of that, hey, Sheamus might not be the champion if we do this. Hey,
the ABS, anybody but Sheamus won the title tonight. You know, and Pat, it's. I mean, they give away results so often. Just the cues they have. I mean,
right as
Reigns is coming out of the ring, they're advertising, hey, Roman Reigns is going to be on SportsCenter tomorrow night.
You don't say.
So, okay, they're either going to have a fired guy on SportsCenter or he's won the title. Okay, I think he's going to win the title.
On the bright side, at least Cole didn't say, yeah, the new champion is going to be on SportsCenter tomorrow.
That would have been hilarious if he would have let that slip.
Yeah. That would have been quite a callback, but
yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't say, hey, you know, whoever wins, you know, the champion is supposed to be on SportsCenter tomorrow, and that's, you know, that's obviously going to be Sheamus, and, you know, blah 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 blah, and just go from there. But I guess they didn't feel that was credible.
Yeah, because Sheamus has already been on there,
on and not only
that, he was actually the last guest, and I don't think they would have brought him back on. It wasn't that riveting. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But. I mean, but they could have, you know, they could have swerved it some other way. They just didn't bother.
No, they're like, here you go, Reigns is winning the title. Enjoy. You know, that, I mean, they basically just told you right up front, hey, he's winning. So enjoy or be really mad for the next 15 minutes. Either way.
I chose to enjoy. I think that this is the right move. And, you know, I mean, this is how you're going to get Roman Reigns' credibility as a main eventer, by letting him hold the title for a little bit. Letting him, you know, fight off some challengers, and I don't see why, I don't see why Reigns can't hold the title going into WrestleMania.
My only problem is, Pat, he's still the same guy that had that awful promo last Monday, just 1 week ago with Sheamus. I can't get past that for now.
Well, you know, go with the Bruce Mitchell plan of cutting all of Reigns' promos to 3 minutes or less, and maybe not scripting it. And maybe giving him some bullet points and letting him stretch a little bit, because he's not that bad a guy. It's just, you know, it's just when you come up, you know, you come up and believe, and he only, you know, Roman Reigns only debuted on the NXT roster 3 years ago.
Right.
So I mean, he was in developmental for a little while, but this is when he got the character. So and what, he's been in the company for 2 years. So they don't have confidence in him as a promo guy, and he might not even have real confidence in himself.
And I mean, perhaps this is what draws something out of him, is this program with the McMahons. It's got to be. I mean, they don't have any other option to draw something out of him.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't have enough other stars to really work with at that top level. So.
Well, let's see. I mean, Lesnar's coming back. That's, yeah, I wouldn't go straight to that, but.
It's there.
I mean, if you set up set up Reigns and Lesnar again for WrestleMania, and there's no Seth Rollins around, that's, you know, that's interesting.
Pat, what else from, I mean, this show was all about Reigns and McMahons, but I mean, there was some other stuff on the show. What else to you, Pat, stood out on this post-TLC show, just kind of below the main event that you wanted to hit on in the opening segment?
Well, what stood out for me is in Philly we crowned the new Kings of Hardcore, the Wyatt family.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Passing the torch and doing the job, doing the honors, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were doing there. And yeah. And I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like the Wyatts, at least you know, 3/4 of them can't hold their own in hardcore matches. And Strowman, they just tell him not to sell anything, and he's good.
I love Strowman. Like a complete idiot diving toward the announce table like he was sliding the home plate. I mean, it was hilarious. It just seems like every match, Pat, Braun does something goofy, and that's kind of his thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like he stands out in a negative way compared to the other Wyatts, you know?
Sure, sure.
I mean, this isn't exactly the Mensa round table out there.
Oh, Luke Harper and Bray and Eric Rowan. Good bunch of guys. Good bunch of guys, yeah.
Well, we had the match, and then there's, I forget, it might have been Saxon saying, boy, the Wyatts sure look worse for wear after this match. And I'm like, they look the way they always look.
Yeah. Same raggedy old group, beat up and rough around the edges. Yeah, that's them.
They're maybe a little sweatier, but that's about it.
Yeah. Pat, on the VIP side, we put up Way Back Playback this morning with you and Jim Valley. Give us a little bit of discussion about the latest episode on the VIP website.
Well, we're still doing Survivor Series 98 at your request with the legendary 14-man title tournament. We did the second hour, which has a lot of stuff on there. You've got Mr. McMahon and the Corporation. I know this sounds familiar. Trying to keep Rock or Austin from winning the title in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a good week since Mr. McMahon came back that we get a whole lot of Mr. McMahon. Plus, we have a certain match that's part of Survivor Series 98 that might have been mentioned 2,000 or 3,000 times on the Steve Austin show, which is his match with Mick Foley in the tournament. Tournament semifinals. So yeah, we're up to that. I mean, it's an interesting look. I mean, this is, you know, it's a lot of the same things that is a lot of the same Crash TV stuff. But you have to remember, this is the first time WWF was doing it,
mm-hmm.
So it seemed fresh, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, and so yeah, by the time you get to, you know, tying it back to ECW, by the time you get to the Xerox, the hardcore match,
yeah,
it might be fresh to some people who've never seen it, but a lot of viewers, it's sort of dated. Unless you can pull it off really well with some strong characters, and that's, you know, that's kind of the challenge of that type of match. So, you know, it is what it is. Pat, anything else you wanted to note before I let you go?
Well, let's see. Wednesday's live cast is going to have to be moved back to 5:30. I need to talk to the assistant editor about that.
Me?
Because that's when Travis Bryant and I are doing the NXT TakeOver London post-game show,
mm-hmm.
And that's when the show ends. It starts, you know, at 10:30 London time is 5:30 Eastern.
Yeah, Or, Pat, you come on the air and call the main event. You call Bauer and Joe. You can always do that.
I'll think about that, but I have a feeling that people would rather watch the show and then join us.
Exactly.
Plus,
yeah.
You know, we kind of need to digest this. I'm guessing this will end up being eventful one way or the other.
Oh, for sure. Especially just being in London, you know, the crowd will be interesting to discuss regardless of the match outcomes. So that should be a fun post game show. We have. We were going to have three post-game shows, and yesterday didn't quite work out with Blog Talk for the TLC. But, yeah, Pat, we'll have a fun post-game show on Wednesday talking about that NXT TakeOver. Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, and, And that should be a good show. And you know, everybody who does listen to Wayback Playback, start thinking of what you want for our next set of episodes, and when the time comes, you can vote on them.
There you go. And third hour of Survivor Series this weekend, and then get a fresh episode of Wayback Playback
right
after that to start almost the new year. It'll be pretty close to the new year, so that should be fun.
Yes, it will. Yeah, and there's a lot of new material up on the network that, I say new material, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
A lot of stuff that we haven't had up there before, so, look around and choose wisely.
And be sure to tweet your thoughts on an episode review at @RealPatMcNeil. Pat McNeil's on Twitter, and tweet him there.
Yeah.
And follow Pat, too. Follow his comments, too.
Oh, yeah, and how about that Divas Revolution tonight?
You mean the Ric Flair Revolution? Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Pat. Well, I enjoyed having you on the show.
All right.
We'll talk again Wednesday for the VIP After Show.
Yes, we will. And everybody, have a good evening, and talk to James now.
All right, very good. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate it. Yeah, always good to talk to Pat on the first 15 good minutes of the show. And as I mentioned, we have all the coverage of Raw at pwtorch.com and Torch TLC. And one of the cool new features I introduced today was a live stream of all the news and reports in wrestling that we put up in the Torch Today section. Just a running list of news and small news bits kind of that popped up throughout the day. Just trying to put it all in one place. An easy way to find it, all the news of the day at pwtorch.com and pwtorchvip.com. And I should also note, going back to Saturday, huge night in UFC with Conor McGregor. And all of the coverage of that is at MMAtorch.com, our sister website. Be sure, if you're a UFC fan or just an MMA fan in general, be sure to go to MMAtorch.com. Check out all the coverage of the big UFC weekend, one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year, probably going to be in terms of box office. So check that out at MMAtorch.com. We'll be right back with your phone calls after this quick timeout. A reminder, call us up here on the live cast, 646-721-9828. We'll be right back with your calls after this message.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must-listen, and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
All right, let's get this bad boy going here on the phone call portion of the show. We got a lot of people on hold who want to talk. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to have any calls yesterday of the TLC postgame show, but thanks to Greg Parks for joining me for a two-man show last night. If you've not listened to that, check it out on the TLC kind of a postgame show here at pwtorchlivecast.com or in the VIP audio section at pwtorchvip.com. So let's go for like one or two topics or questions per call, just so we can get as many people on the air, especially as we didn't have calls yesterday. And let us start it off in the let's go to the 281 area code. Let's go to our good friend James out of Houston. James, Mirror James, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, James. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We're on the air, so that's a positive. We made it on the air today, so that's good. What's your mind tonight, James?
Yeah, sure. I have two things. Well, three things. I kind of if you can make a note in your notebook, because I kind of want you to mark this down for me.
Uh-huh.
I want your preliminary prediction on who you think right now is going to win the Rumble.
Okay.
Anybody. This is the prelim prediction. That's A. B, could you speculate a little bit about what might be in the immediate future for Reigns as the title picture? And then three, I know Greg is going to be happy about this. I am extremely thrilled about Mauro Ranallo getting the call for SmackDown. I think he has the capabilities of becoming into the pantheon of good wrestling announcers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know your thoughts on that. Thank you so much. Have a good night, James.
All right. Good to talk to you, James. Always appreciate the call. I'll go reverse on that one. I think I always have trouble pronouncing his entire name together. It just kind of rolls together. But Mauro is really good. If people have not heard him on New Japan, on the Access TV broadcast New Japan, or MMA, or any kickboxing, he's called so many different things. Mauro is really good, and he has a great voice. He has a great knowledge. He's passionate about the product, and he sounds really good. He'll be a different voice. You know, I think we're so used to, the guys who kind of sound the same. There's sort of a homogenous voice that calls WWE television. Sort of it all just sort of blends together. You turn on Raw, you turn on SmackDown, you kind of hear a very similar voice, very even, not too high, not too low. And unless Mauro changes or is produced to change, he'll be a very different type of voice. And that's good. I think they need a different voice, both literally and figuratively, for WWE television. And Mauro's the guy for that. He's really good. So I'm looking forward to that. I did not get a chance to talk to Greg about that on the post-game show last night. I should have brought that up because the news broke during the pay-per-view. But I think Greg will enjoy covering SmackDown with a different voice covering the show. But yeah, that's a good hiring for WWE. Reigns' immediate future is a lot of Stone Cold, a lot of going back in time to the Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon type storyline programming content. I think they're going to try to turn Reigns into that indestructible super force who goes up against the authority. In this case, it's maybe Vince becomes an every week character again. I don't know about that. I just don't know if we need that. But, obviously Hunter and Stephanie will be part of this. And you can tell they're going to build toward Reigns and Hunter. Now the question is, how do they have the title in the mix? I mean, do they do the storyline of Triple H ultimately decides he's going to challenge for the title because nobody else can get the job done? Orton couldn't get the job done. Brock was champion for a while. Sheamus couldn't get the job done. It makes you wonder if Hunter will decide he's going to go after the title himself and lose to Reigns. Which, then would require, then that kind of throws things off in the sense that, okay, well, let's say that XYZ wrestler, going back to your first topic, James, well, let's say that Brock Lesnar wins the Rumble, and Reigns is sitting there with the title, and there's Hunter ready to face Reigns, so do you have Reigns lose the title again? Do you have Reigns and Hunter have a match at the Rumble? You don't save that match for WrestleMania. Maybe they speed things up and have Reigns and Hunter at the Rumble, and then Reigns defends the title against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Because my prediction, until I see something different, will be Brock Lesnar. I think that Brock's going to win the Rumble. Then you'd have to get the Reigns-Hunter match out of the way. So then I guess you'd have to have that at the Rumble pay-per-view, too. So, in my mind, I pegged that for WrestleMania. Now I don't know anymore. So, I guess since I don't know what Hunter's going to do anymore if he's not facing Reigns. That's Hunter and Reigns is the match they're building up. And now, does that happen at Mania or not? That's what I'm not sure about. I don't know. But my pick is Brock. I think he's the guy to win the Rumble and go on to face Reigns. Which all of a sudden would have a very interesting dynamic because, as WWE, kind of pointed out and patted themselves on the back for, 11 months ago, Reigns was booed out of the same building when he won the Rumble. And now, 11 months later, he won the title, and the crowd was mostly positive. So, I think they're going to look at that and say, well, now we can safely have Brock Lesnar versus Reigns at WrestleMania. And it would not be a one-sided boo fest against Reigns. So, a lot of stuff seems like it changed. And perhaps in response to ratings and how awful last week's Raw ended, and maybe they decided to change some things up in the last 3 days or so, decision-making-wise. So We'll see how it plays out, but I'm still holding on to Brock as the favorite to win the Rumble. James, appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Let's go next to the 478 area code. Welcome to the show, 478. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, boy, James. It's Darrell from Georgia. Can you hear me?
Hey, Darrell. Yeah, good to hear from you, Darrell. What's your mind tonight?
Okay. I just got two things I want to say. I wanted to see about your opinion on. My first thing is my question was going to be what you started touching on right there, but I was going to frame it in a different way. Since what they're giving us right now is 4 months, the next 4 months, he's going to be battling the Authority, and most likely probably Triple H at WrestleMania. How do you really feel about the next 4 months Raw heavy Authority show with Owen and Shane type for the next 4 months going on? That's my first question. How you really feel about that?
Sure.
And second question is, give us some predictions on who you think will win and what will go on NXT.
Ooh.
And that was my two.
I like it. Good. I like a good prediction call. Appreciate that, Darrell. While I think about NXT, I'll comment on your first topic. Yeah, I think this is going to be very, very heavy. Interesting email questions came across. I'll address that in a second. I think that Roman Reigns and the Authority, it does seem like that's going to be what's going to be on tap for the next 4 months going into doing WrestleMania. It seems like it's kind of inevitable that that's just... You know, they'll probably mix in Dean Ambrose. Again, though, tonight, you know, Reigns is in trouble, and the League of Nations comes down and interferes, and there's still no Dean. There's still no Uso. There's, you know, I mean, like last night, you know, okay, you know, happens once. It happens again tonight. Why? Where's Reigns? Where are Reigns' buddies? You know, and there's no attempt to address it. I guess they can't because it would make the babyface look like really, really bad friends. But you know, where are his friends? Where are Reigns' friends to help out? And you know, because there wasn't even an attempted explanation for why Ambrose didn't help out last night. You know, they didn't even attempt that tonight. They just act like it doesn't even matter. Like it's just customary for babyfaces not to be good friends with each other. I just think that's just too obvious to not address it. But that aside, yeah, I think that we'll have a lot of Roman Reigns authority, a lot of promos, and maybe mix in some Ambroses and maybe some Usos to kind of freshen things up and not have it be the same old thing every week. But yeah, I mean, they're gonna have an uphill battle to keeping this fresh because Reigns is still the same Reigns who had that awful promo with Sheamus last week. Now, they're going to have a lot of the people doing the heavy lifting. You know, they're going to need Stephanie and Hunter and I guess now Vince to do a lot of the talking while Reigns kind of stands there as a silent assassin type. Or there's some interaction with Dean Ambrose that kind of freshens things up. So they're going to have to find ways to not burn out the audience on Reigns all over again in this role of fighting against the Authority as the champion. As far as NXT predictions... I'm going to say no title changes. No title changes. I don't see Bayley losing to Nia Jax. That would be the one where I could see a title change. I could see that. But I don't think they're going to have Bayley drop the title. So I think I've got Bayley there. Dash and Dawson, I think they're going to retain the NXT tag titles. Too early to have them lose the belts. And then I think Finn Balor beats Joe. It would be very tempting to have Joe win the title. And it would make some sense. You know, because they have Joe in the Rampage, but I think the Rampage is for then Balor to conquer. And I think they want to have Balor have a big victory in... it's not quite his home market. But in Europe, so his home continent of Europe, if you will. I'm going to say all of them win. All the champions retain. And they might not win. I mean, Dash and Dawson might have a DQ loss. But I would say that all the champions, in my estimation, will retain. So I'm going to predict no title changes. And then they'll have some big surprise. You know, whether it's Sami Zayn coming back or something like that. But... I think there will be some big surprise or angle Because they always kind of seem to end the TakeOver specials with some sort of big angle, you know, whether it's Kevin Owens or something along those lines. So it'll be interesting to see what that big ending is to the main event. Or they might just have Bauer win and they go off the air with Bauer winning and end it that way. We'll see. Email question that came across, which is kind of interesting, from Jeff in North Carolina. Do you think that Vince's appearance was due to the poor ratings? That's probably a contributor. I mean, because if you're not seeing Raw, Vince looked very old tonight. Grandfatherly, you know, I'm not going to say elderly. I think that'd be unfair to Vince to use that label. But he just, you know, for people who are used to a certain appearance for Vince, it was kind of jarring to see his TV appearance tonight. I would say the ratings are a contributor. I would say also just the miles on him. You know, the late nights, the stress over running creative and the business. Just all the different aspects, all the things he's responsible for as head of the company and head of creative. You know, and all the miles on him, it just added up. You know, it's added up to where he looks physically tired and worn down. Ratings probably contributed to that, you know, stressing over the ratings and USA Network and needing a certain number and all that kind of stuff. So, I think that's probably the ratings are probably a contributor. Let me remind you guys, one of our big sponsors here in the live cast is actually one of our big partners is Amazon.com, and it's coming up. You know, as we saw on with the primetime players tonight. It's almost Christmas time, and you know Darren Young is looking for some Christmas presents. Titus O'Neil is trying to direct him in the right place. And yeah, you can go to WWEshop.com, but we have a deal with Amazon.com, and it helps us out here at the livecast and at PWTorch.com. When you're thinking about going to Amazon, you're going to search for a good deal. Before you type in Amazon.com, go to PWTorch.com/Amazon, and that way we get a cut of your purchase, and that helps us out here in the livecast. Helps us out with just the cost of doing the live cast. Helps us out with PWTorch.com. Just a little extra something that goes our way when you shop on Amazon. So when you're thinking about going to Amazon and get those last-minute deals, go to PWTorch.com/Amazon, and that takes you directly to the same Amazon page. But we get a little cut of what you purchase. So that helps us out here at the live cast and at PWTorch.com. We appreciate it. And it just helps us out. And it's also the spirit of giving. So it definitely helps us out here. So let's go on to some more phone calls. And next up on the live cast, 305 area code. Welcome to show 305. Please state your name, where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ. Did the Dolphins win? I turned off the game before it was over. Who won?
I know. I turned off the game, too, because I was trying to watch what was going on over here.
Okay, so neither of us know. This is suspenseful.
Yeah.
DJ, give us your thought while I look up the score.
Okay. I got two questions and a comment real quick. My comment is real fast is that have you heard anything about London, about any terrorist attack or anything? Because they were saying something before, you know, and that was over in Georgia. That was my comment.
Yeah,
I haven't
heard anything about that. I mean, I'm sure that they'll have a little extra security with sort of the, just in general, Europe being... I don't know if target's the right word, but certainly battleground. I don't know. I'm trying to over-dramatize what's going on over there, but it is something to be aware of. And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure that, you know, WWE will have a lot of security and heightened security for that TakeOver special in London. So, yeah, I think you're right on about that. But, yeah, I just certainly hope it's a safe show. You know, just at the end of the day, I hope it's just safe over there. So, I haven't heard anything specific, DJ, but I'm sure there will be extra security. Go ahead, DJ. What else do you have on your mind?
My first thing is that now that Reigns won the belt, I really think that this is the best time to put him heel, because it's like if they're going to – I don't think they should rush the Triple H thing, and then if Brock's going to win the Rumble, it's just like that means that Brock's going to have to beat him at – the pay-per-view before, you know, WrestleMania, because I don't know what, you know, it makes no sense, you know what I mean? I think they just, you know, shot the gun when they didn't need to, you know?
Yeah,
but I think
I mean, you
totally
can definitely tell
should.
DJ they sped things up. I think that they sped things up, and now it's kind of by the way, sorry, Miami lost. The Giants won. But but a positive for our New York fans over here, as I'm sitting in the middle of New York and Miami fans who call into the show. But yeah, I think that they sped up a lot of plans in the last couple of days. It certainly seemed like, you know, I think a lot of us who watched wrestling back in the day were anticipating a double turn where McMahon, well, I guess maybe just a turn by Reigns, you know, where Reigns would become The Rock, the corporate champion, and McMahon would decide to have Reigns be the champion and sort of shock everybody, and Reigns would, you know, hug him or whatever and sort of become the corporate champion. That's not the era we're in anymore, and it certainly seemed like it was going to happen. You know, McMahon was way over the top and just so into Sheamus, and you're thinking, okay, he's going to flip it and swerve Sheamus and endorse Reigns. We're not in that era anymore. This is the era of Roman Reigns as the new top babyface, and McMahon is adamant about solidifying Reigns as a top babyface. So it certainly was a thought to have watching this unfold, and certainly is still a thought, you know, and the idea of, you know, all of a sudden the authorities going to come up to Reigns, but hey, buddy, you know, you want to come the winning team over here. You want to join the authority, and then Reigns has to do the whole, well, let me think about it, and then he decides, nope, not going to do it, Superman punch, and all that. And so we'll probably explore that a little bit on Raw in the coming weeks, but, you know, I just think that they're going to keep Reigns strong babyface as much as they can, and have the authority just become even more evil up against Reigns. It's just, you know, they're trying to find a new top star, and it's just, you know, Reigns is the guy right now to eventually replace Cena. You know, when Cena comes back, I'm interested to see what the landscape is with Cena back on the show alongside Reigns, and how does that dynamic work out? But you know, they are definitely not in the business of a heel turn right now. If there was going to be a heel turn for Reigns, this would have been the show to do it. They didn't do it. They had him do the Super Reigns, Super Cena, and overcome the odds and kick out everybody's finisher and all that kind of stuff. And that's what they solidified tonight. You know, that's kind of what they went for. So. It's certainly a thought to have, DJ. I was right there with you. Let's go on to some more phone calls. Let's go next to the 718 area code. Welcome to show 718. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Mike from Brooklyn. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on tonight? What's your mind?
How you feeling? James, just to, you know, reverse, you know, a little bit with the NXT thing.
Sure. Go for it, Mike.
Perhaps they do let Joe win the title, you know, as his unstoppable machine, and have Balor, you know, come back for a little bit of a climb to a second title, you know, his second reign, probably at the next takeover event, you know, where he brings out the Demon against Joe.
That would be the way to go about it, Mike. That certainly, as I'm predicting zero title changes, I'm sitting there thinking about, okay, well, what do they have Joe win? And you present a good argument. Is Joe wins a title, like you said, it kind of becomes the Brock Lesnar of NXT, and then Balor has to kind of go back to what worked and find that the inner persona to combat Joe, who, you know, that turned into a monster on TV. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. And I, you know, I could very well see that argument for going ahead and put the title on Joe. I think it's a very strong argument. And I just, I'm curious, you know, because it's so interesting with NXT is, you know, do they want to have NXT be the place where guys and gals have very long title runs? You know, we're kind of in this new era of NXT over the last couple of years, and we haven't really seen, we've seen some pretty good length to title runs, and we haven't seen that epically long title run yet. And I mean, Balor seems like a guy that could be that guy until they're ready to call him up for the main roster. But, like you said, is Samoa Joe a guy that has come along and been energized and maybe put the title on him and have the babyface chase for a little while and have Bauer have to kind of go back to his roots as a persona. It's a good argument to make, Mike, and I think it's an interesting possibility for Wednesday, and you know, maybe it happens. I would not be against it for sure. I think it'd be a good move. I just don't know if they'll pull the trigger on it. You know, I'm not sure. We'll have to see. Mike, what else did you have for us tonight?
Yeah, just a thought. I mean, I think, you know, how they presented Roman Reigns, how they reeled you in and all that, and how it came off was pretty good. And, boy, that Philly crowd, he really won them back tonight. But with that being said, and then, you know, this is all I got for tonight, and how Cena was talking in the interview, like they seen it all from him. Mm-hmm. Like, would you get Roman Reigns a little bit warmer, and then maybe, you know, somewhere down the line in 2016 where nobody's paying attention, pull that Cena Hill time, step them up?
That'd be interesting, you know, and have that be, you know, have Cena's last major contribution be establishing Reigns as the next top babyface. Is have Cena become a little bit jealous of Reigns and kind of, you know, boxing out and jockeying for position. All of a sudden Cena, you know, the idea that, you know, he's the old veteran. He might be losing a step, or this young gun might be a little bit better than him. And Cena, you know, then kind of, goes down that path of sort of being heelish and, you know, as a way to try to neutralize Reigns. And they kind of explore that for a little while, and Reigns conquers Cena. Maybe Cena, you know, does the old respect. A little bit of the Cena-Rock stuff, right? You know, where Rock passed the torch to Cena. Maybe Cena passes the torch to Reigns. It'd be interesting to kind of see what exactly Cena's role is in all this when he does come back to TV. That, you know, I mean, he could always go back and win the U.S. title and go back to doing the U.S. title open challenge, but... You know, I think that they did that, and I don't know they're going to go back to that. Now, Cena has a title rematch if he wants it, because he has not got his rematch after losing the title to Del Rio in October. But they want to go back to that, and that's the big question mark for Cena. But, yeah, you could see a heelish Cena, and that kind of sets up Reigns for the ultimate babyface conquest to get him off and running. So we'll see about that. Speaking of Reigns, email question. Email from VIP member Marco, who had the same that I had. Did WWE just put the World Heavyweight title on the guy who bombed in last week's closing promo based on one night's reaction? I guess one night being last night's TLC. Do you think that since the fans are building in support of Reigns, wouldn't the payoff be better if the big win came after Reigns took down the Authority? I can see this trying to be an attempt at a multi-layered where... They have the fireball offense at TLC, and then they have Reigns win the title tonight, and then they try to build toward Reigns conquering the Authority as the Authority becomes more and more vindictive, because, you know, now Reigns is holding the top title in the company, holding the WWE Heavyweight title, and they try to multi-layer this as now Reigns has to fend off the Authority and try to conquer the Authority as they try to take the WWE title from him. So I kind of see that trying to be the attempt at the storyline here is to layer it in that way, as opposed to Reigns conquering the Authority and winning the title all at the same time. You know, now we'll be kind of trying to fend off the Authority while also trying to retain the title and going that approach. So, and then also Marco asks, where does this put League of Nations? Do they stay together after Sheamus' rematch, or does Del Rio take a bigger role as the only champion in the group? Oh my gosh, I don't know what to make of League of Nations anymore. I mean, you know, Wade Barrett's disappeared. The guys are, you know, been made to look pretty silly tonight, and they looked pretty silly last night. It's just that Sheamus kind of lucked out and did win the ladder match last night, or the TLC match last night, but not after, you know, Reigns basically took out the entire group by himself, and then, you know, Sheamus finally was able to scale the ladder and finally win the title or retain the title. So, yeah, but tonight they look pretty silly. And I don't know. League of Nations, I'm not sure if this is short-term or long-term. Maybe somebody can let me know, though. This is the key. Do they have T-shirts? If they have T-shirts, then it's going to stick around for a while. If they don't have T-shirts, then, you know what, maybe it's not going to stick around for a while. But, You know, the T-shirts is the key to all this, of course. You know, did they emerge on W's website? That'll kind of tell the story if this is long-term or not. Marco, VIP, appreciate your support of the website, pwtorchvip.com. Thank you for the question. Let's go on to another VIP. I believe this is, where'd you go? VIP member Jason. I was about to hit his number, and then he disappeared. So I think I found you. Jason out of Australia, are you on the line with us? Jason out of Australia? We might have missed him here on the live cast. So, but Jason, if you want to come back on the line, I will get to you next on the switchboard. So, let's go to another phone call. And next up is the 480 area code. Welcome to the show, 480. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
John from Arizona.
Hey, John. Good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
I just want to say it's probably one of my more favorite Raws in quite some time. I thought the main event was pretty great. And do you think they're going to have another triple threat match for the tag team titles at the Royal Rumble? Or do you think the Usos and the Lucha Dragons will have like a number one contenders match?
Yeah, I would lean more toward a number one contenders match. I could see they've got so much time on their hands now until the Rumble. So I could very well see maybe a number one contender match in the beginning of 2015. And you know, you got Slammy's next week will kind of be more of a gimmicky show. And then the last Raw of 2015, probably more of a wrap-up the year type of a show. And then maybe at the beginning of the year, they'll kind of have a number one contender match between the Usos and Luchas. So, yeah, I don't see them doing another three-way match. they could always throw another tag team in the mix and have a four-team match. But either way, I don't see them doing another three-team match at the Rumble. I very much see a number one contenders match between Usos and Luchas. Or they add a fourth team to the mix, whether it's, you know, the Dudleys or Primetime Players or some other tag team. And have a four-team match against with a New Day, but I'm leaning more toward just a straight-up one-on-one or two-on-two tag team title match at the Rumble between New Day and either one of those babyface teams. I mean, it was a hot show tonight for sure. Booking-wise is a question mark. A lot of the stuff around Roman Reigns is debatable. He's still got to prove himself. Because, you know, he's still the same guy who had that promo last Monday with Sheamus. So, you know, now have they erased all that? Have they reconciled it? You know, it's going to take time. You know, now that he's won the title, he's got to hold his weight there. And how do they kind of handle him as the champion now that they put the belts on him for more than one night? So we shall see about that. John, appreciate your phone call. Good topics. Appreciate the call. Let's go next to the 936 area code. Welcome to show 936. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Michael from the Woodland.
Hey, Michael. Hey, good to hear from you. Always good to hear from you on Twitter during Raw. Appreciate the phone call. What's your mind tonight?
Yeah, definitely, James. Yeah, no, appreciate the show. Love it. I really liked Raw tonight. I thought that any show that captivates me for 75% of 3 hours, I'm with.
Yep.
You know, so I think people can pick apart a couple stories, but this Raw was on point, stacked up against this last 10. Like, it was great, you know. I think that it leads into the road of Roman being champion and then Brock Lesnar destroying the Royal Rumble, get them to Mania. Roman beats him, they put him over. Fine. My question to you is, during that time span, from now to then, mm-hmm. how are we going to get the mid-card up to sell 100,000 seats in Dallas Stadium?
Yeah, the challenge is going to be trying to come up with enough compelling matches that draw in the casual viewer. And I think the headline matches will be the key to that. And then, like you said, the mid-card kind of pad things out and create that. Because, like you said, you got to have some really strong three-hour Raws that build to a WrestleMania. I mean, you don't have a flat product where, you know, you open the show with Roman Reigns and the Authority and, you know, here comes Roman Reigns on the beer truck, you know, kind of stuff. to go opposite the authority, and then the middle of the show is a very flat, you know, R-Truth versus Bo Dallas match, and you have a lot, you know, if you end up with a lot of that in the middle of the show, then yeah, it's going to send the wrong message about the product not being that hot, and going to send the wrong message about whether, you know, WrestleMania season is hot or not. So yeah, I mean, like the middle of the show won't sell a lot of tickets for WrestleMania, but it'll help create the atmosphere of a hot product on Raw week after week after week in January and February and March. That's where the importance is to have a strong middle that sells the idea of, wow, this is a hot product. I've got to be at Cowboy Stadium for WrestleMania. And then also they've got to have some big main events too. You know, they've got to have a big John Cena match. They have a big Undertaker match, a big Brock Lesnar match, a big Triple H match. Because, you know, Rock may or may not be available. Ronda Rousey may or not be available. Stone Cold's not available. And so Hulk Hogan's not available. They've got to have some good stuff there on top, and also have a good mix of mid card to kind of create that image of Raw being a good product going into WrestleMania. So, yeah, it's gonna be important. And how do they get there? they still have the same issues, you know, because tonight's show was dominated, and it didn't move very quickly. It didn't move, but a lot of it's because, you know, post pay per view show. And McMahon is back on TV, and the Authority, and Roman Reigns. You know, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have that every single Monday night. And so going forward, they've got to find a way to sustain this. And you know, because they blew a lot tonight. They had Stephanie slap around Roman. They had a post pay per view show. You can't get that every single week. You can't get that for another 6 weeks now. You had McMahon come back on TV. You can't have that be recreated every single Monday. They had a W title match. You can't have that every single Monday. You can't have Roman Reigns win the title. You can't have that every single Monday. So now what? Now that you've blown those five things on one show, what do you do? Okay, well, you got the Slammies. Okay, so you got a gimmick next Monday. The week after that, you got John Cena coming back. So, okay, you got Cena coming back. What's he going to do? Who's going to feud with? Who's going to be interacting with? And now you've got to, again, follow up. You've got to follow up. And fill the middle of the show with strong content. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about Miz and Neville. I don't think it's gonna get the job done. You know, Miz coaching Neville on how to wrestle or perform is not gonna get the job done. Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens, that might get the job done. That should get the job done. You need more of Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose. That's what you need more of. And you know, throwing Dolph Ziggler there as well, as you're going to do on SmackDown on this week's show, that will help you out a lot. So I certainly hope that they've got a lot more Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens than Miz and Neville. I'll tell you that much. So good topic, Michael. Appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you. Let me try Jason out of Australia again. Jason, are you with us here in the livecast postgame show? Let me try Jason here. Jason?
Yes, that's me, James. Thanks for that.
There we go. Jason, good to hear from you. What's your Monday night all the way out there in Australia on a Tuesday morning now?
Yeah, well, it's good for me because I'm on holidays from work now, so I got to watch TLC, I got to watch Raw. You know, normally when I watch Raw, it's in the evening, and, you know, I get to fast forward through most of it and watch a three-hour show in about 30 minutes.
Sure.
But, you know, this show was pretty good. I just wanted to raise a couple of points. I agree with you definitely with what you're talking about, Ambrose and Usos. I mean, I want to know where were they in relation to Reigns. Now, the only way I can see them getting out of this is almost you do a backstage segment with the Usos and Ambrose, and, you know, Reigns is acknowledging that he told them to stay behind and that, you know, he wanted to do this himself, or else it just doesn't make sense why they weren't there. I mean, I thought that they would be there at the end, and I thought it would be the Usos and Ambrose, you know, holding Reigns on their shoulders, you know, celebrating, almost trying to recreate what we saw on Raw when Mankind defeated The Rock for the title. I thought that might have been going for that. But anyway, I think a couple of key points that come out of the storyline is, one, right at the beginning, Stephanie said that Triple H didn't want to fire Roman Reigns, mm-hmm. which was interesting. Second, Sheamus is the one that actually put the title on the line, which is a rather stupid thing to do. And third, you had Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon didn't actually see the pinfall. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to play into it or not, but I wouldn't be really comfortable with Roman still having that championship. I don't know if they've got something else up their sleeve. Sort of reminds me when Jack Tunney didn't see the title change when it was the rematch between Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker. So I'm not sure if they're going to do something down that path. But, you know, I think another one of the reasons why I really like Roman Reigns as a champion is that when you look at over the past 2.5 years, the overarching story has been a rather depressing one where there has been a heel that's been on top with the championship. I mean, barring Daniel Bryan winning for a couple of months and Cena having it for a month or so, we've pretty much had a heel on top as a champion for 2.5 years.
Yep.
And I think that's led to the ratings slide because it's been rather depressing for babyface fans. So having Reigns have the championship, I think it's a good thing, and I hope they go through with it. And, you know, they've done a good job, but I was doubtful. They got the crowd cheering. I like it came full circle with the Philly crowd really knocking him, you know, 12 months ago. Now they're embracing him. You know, let's see how they go. But I will say, James, Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens, I think there's a lot of meat to this storyline. I like where they're going with it. And, you know, that's a mid-card, upper mid-card feud. I'm looking forward to seeing how it evolves.
Yeah, I think Owens Ambrose has potential to be great. You know, just the way the backstage interview with Owens after he interfered in Ambrose's match against Ziggler, and Owens said, you know, if Ambrose is crazy now, I'm going to make him really crazy. And I thought that was a great stage setter for what's next for this feud. I think that could be a great mid-card feud, and that's why I hope there's more of that than the other long-term storyline they have for Miz and Neville, where it's based on Miz wanting an accent coach and directing Neville on how to wrestle. I mean, I just think it's the most ridiculous premise for a storyline. So please, more Ambrose and Owens and less Miz and Neville, please, for me on Monday nights. But I could very well see them going back to the authority in Roman Reigns, kind of coming back on Raw next Monday and trying to do exactly what you're talking about, and the idea that, you know, Reigns hit McMahon, or, you know, some sort of technicality where they try to have the idea that Reigns is not actually the rightful champion, and have the and trying to create anger where the audience is actually angry for Reigns and experiencing an emotion they have not felt for Reigns, sympathy, and mixing that with anger. And having the big heat moment where Reigns, you know, knocks out the authority again or something like that, and trying to rebuild to where they actually have some, you know, a genuinely passionate emotional response toward Roman Reigns, who, you know, toward now has been getting mixed to indifferent reactions. You go back to, you know, just last Monday in Raw, the end of the show, or just how indifferent the crowd was toward Reigns. And now that he's champion, but the authority will find any way possible to get the belt off of Reigns and eliminate him as a threat. You know, they're going to try to get that genuine emotional response from the crowd of being angry that the authority is trying to get the belt off of Reigns. So I'm curious if that happens this coming Monday or next Monday or next year. You know, do they build up to that moment where they're trying to strip him of the title and that sort of thing? So and make him not the rightful champion. I'm curious how they go about that, but time will tell. You know. Again, it felt like they kind of changed a lot of stuff on the fly, so now they have a week to process what happened at TLC and tonight on Raw. What's the next step? What's the next approach to the storyline, and how do they go about this of trying to build on Reigns and not have it be a one night thing where he wins the title and then nobody cares and people go back to not caring about him. So I'm curious what they do with this going forward. Because I think there will be some of what you talked about, Jason, of, you know, them, the authority, trying to find a technicality to not have Reigns be the champion and trying to explore that storyline going forward. We shall see about that. Let's go to another phone call. Next up is from the 434 area code. Welcome to the show, 434. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Keith from Virginia.
Hey, Keith, what's your Monday night? Good to hear from you.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of positive praise for Raw. I hate to be the dissenting opinion, but I wasn't super impressed by it.
Sure.
I like the Wyatts versus the Dudleys. That was cool. The stuff with Kevin Owens was good, but you know, all of this stuff with Roman Reigns is just, I don't think they fixed their fundamental problems. I think they're still riddled with problems that are going to catch up with them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Roman Reigns is, like you said, he's still the same guy. And just because they threw the kitchen sink, they basically cashed in their most valuable asset, which is the McMahons, selling for Roman Reigns. And they won two nights. And suddenly it's like, you know, Roman Reigns is now the new guy. No, he's still the same guy. Mm. And I think people are going to see through it, and it's not going to work out long term. In fact, it just kind of highlights some of the stuff that people are frustrated about. The fact that, you know, this guy isn't organic, and yet they pushed and pushed and pushed until finally they had to give you the last thing they had left, which is, you know, Vince taking a Superman punch to get him over.
Mm-hmm.
But that, they don't have that anymore. There's nothing else left. He can't Superman punch Vince every week. He can't, you know, spear Triple H every week. And what happens next week? What happens the week after that? You're still going to be faced with, you know, some of the same issues that they've been having. You know, to me, it just kind of highlights this idea of a extra corporate era where, you know, when Cena was coming up, you know, he had the people behind him. He had their respect. But Roman Reigns doesn't even really have that. He has a Superman punch and two good nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it does not bode well for the future if people are getting super excited about what they saw on Raw tonight.
Yeah, I think it was the idea of there's, you know, grasping for hope. And hopeful that this is a sign of a turnaround, because I think that the Roman Reigns that we saw last night and the Reigns that we saw a glimmer of tonight was the edgy, non-corporate throwback to a different era Roman Reigns that people have been clamoring for. You know, not the guy doing the lame scripted back-and-forth promo and tater tots lines with Sheamus last Monday, just 1 week ago. I think that they flipped it, and this was a different Reigns that people have been waiting for. And now the idea is, oh, this, you know, can this be sustained? And I share the same concern you have, Keith, which is that I don't know if it's sustainable because it's a knockoff of a previous storyline that worked with Stone Cold and McMahon. And it's the same Roman Reigns who has shown no range on the mic and has struggled to deliver basic promos for a couple years as a solo. So is all of a sudden that all going to change because they've unleashed Roman Reigns? You know, I'm willing to give him a chance, but in the back of my mind, I'm still like, you know, this is the same guy who was doing the tater tot stuff last Monday. You know? So, I'm with you, Keith. I'm concerned, too. I think people want to hold on to a glimmer of hope with Reigns and buy in. And buy into this version of Reigns, and I get that because it's a much better version of Reigns than we've seen for last however long he's been pushed on top, you know, whatever time frame you want to look at that. So I think people like this version of Reigns a lot better. I just, as you said, I don't know if it's sustainable yet. And part of it is because they cashed in all their chips with the McMahons on tonight's show. And last night, after the pay-per-view, I mean, if you stop the tape with how the match ended and Sheamus is celebrating, nobody cares about Reigns. They had to go the next step of Reigns dismantling and cashing in this one, cashing in the dismantling of Triple H. And then tonight it was they cashed in the one-upping of a return of Vince McMahon, who has been on TV in over a year. So they cashed in two major chips to get Reigns to this position. And now it's Now what? As you said, Keith, now what do you do? Can they now that they've cashed in these two chips, can they make a big run now with this? Is this a foundation to build on, or was this a two-night fix to a problem? And that's where next week and the week after in 2016, January 2016, will be so huge, because if they cannot build on this, they don't have any other chips to go to. They cashed in their two big chips last night and tonight, all in the name of getting Roman Reigns to that top spot as champion. Now you've got to go to work. You've got to build. You have to build on this because you don't have any other chips to cash in. So I'm with you, Keith. I'm concerned, but I'm willing to give them a chance to see what they can do with this going forward. Appreciate the call, Keith, and good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Let's go next to the 707 area code. Welcome to the show, 707. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
It's Matt from San Francisco.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for calling in. What's your mind tonight?
Hold on a second. I actually wrote this down so I could stay concise. So I'm warming up to Roman like a lot of people did tonight.
Sure.
He's still pretty terrible at conveying any promo that requires words. but I'm just conflicted that a big reason I got out of wrestling was because of the kind of super long era of Cena just kind of being on top. And I'm worried that if Roman gets over, if he becomes the main guy, we're looking at another decade of that kind of company. Mm-hmm. Is there anything is there any reason for me to think that won't be the case?
I share the same concern with you. I think that they are looking for a long-term solution on top. I in my mind, I go back in time to Cena, and there was some anti-Cena sentiment boiling underneath the surface when they identified him as the guy. I still remember I was living in California at the time, and there was I think it was a pre-WrestleMania rally. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was a pre-WrestleMania rally, and Cena was part of it, and there was some anti-Cena sentiment, which was surprising because, you know, Cena was sort of a popular guy as a heel, as a rapper, and then he kind of got a little bit more popular, and then people started looking at him as, oh, okay, maybe he could be the top star, the next top babyface. And then all of a sudden, though, they started endorsing him. You know, there was that endorsement from the machine. There was an endorsement from the corporation. And then that's where you kind of started to see they were overlooking some of the deficiencies in the ring. He wasn't as good in the ring as people thought he should be. He wasn't wrestling as good a matches as people thought he should be. And so some of that anti-Cena sentiment started to build up. But it was still the idea that he was a fresh act. He was still a fresh guy on top. And I think now it's almost like the reverse is true for Reigns, where there was so much anti-Reigns sentiment because for all the different reasons that we all kind of know about. And now that he's won the title, and all of a sudden people are relatively reluctantly getting on the bandwagon in the sense that, yeah, hey, this is a different Roman Reigns that I've seen before. I like this Roman Reigns. Let me dip my toe in the water of the Roman Reigns experience, and I hope that I'm not disappointed by this. I hope it's not the same Roman Reigns with the tater tots last Monday. And then you have the concern about, and this is the concern I share with you, Matt, is this going to be 10 years of Roman Reigns struggling on the mic with a variety of mid-card heel opponents to work with? Is it going to be Roman Reigns and Del Rio, Roman Reigns and Rusev, Roman Reigns and, you know, some generic guy they call from NXT who looks tough and intimidating? It's going to be Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. And I'm sitting there thinking about all this stuff, and I'm like, that's the same crap from last Monday. That's Roman Reigns and Sheamus from last Monday. Because, the foundation they're building on is they cashed in the Triple H chip last night. They cashed in the Vince McMahon chip tonight. But 6 months from now, after WrestleMania, after the dust settles, when Brock Lesnar's not around, and it's Roman Reigns and fill-in-the-blank heel, my fear is we're back to Roman Reigns and Sheamus by themselves in that material. That's where I'm concerned, and I'm with you, Matt, that there's got to be more to Roman Reigns to justify the big push. And because otherwise, like you said, I'm as nervous as you are for another 10-year run of Roman Reigns on top. Because I don't think it's sustainable. John Cena became sustainable. He worked his butt off to become sustainable on top as the top star of the company. Yeah, a lot of people fell off, but they also built a new audience with John Cena. I don't see the same intangibles for Roman Reigns. I still have not seen that. And I don't know if this is maybe a false hope yet, or if there's something that can actually sustain coming out of this. But I'm with you, Matt. I'm a little bit concerned about maybe another 10 year run for Roman Reigns to kind of fall up on John Cena. I'm concerned about that because I just don't see the same intangibles that Cena had in Roman Reigns. Appreciate the call, Matt. It's a great topic. And thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Let's go next to the 347 area code. Welcome to the show, 347. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
What's happening? Jonathan from the West.
Hey, Jonathan. Good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Well, I don't even know how they got to that point, but I think it was a great idea because if you think about it, Royal Rumble is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want Reigns, they would have winning the Royal Rumble. And they don't want to make the same mistake that they did last year.
Right.
So instead of just putting the belt now and going against Brock or whoever and pull him over. But I just don't see what's the build up then for the next 3 months before we get to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's my concern now. What's the build up now?
That's where it's going to be interesting to see where maybe this is how Brock Lesnar comes back in the picture. You know, maybe Brock comes back in the picture because Hunter and Stephanie and McMahon, you know, depending on how long Vince McMahon is or how often he's on the show, that's kind of, again, this is all very, I think they've changed a lot of the stuff on the fly. So we'll have to see how it all sorts out. But, you know, does Hunter make a call to Paul Heyman? And you bring in, and that's how they bring back Brock Lesnar. Hey, Paul, I need Brock back. You know what I mean? Let's cut a deal. What do you want? You know, and have that be the storyline because, you know, obviously Sheamus, you know, did not get the job done with the League of Nations. So that seems like it'll be that thing where they blame Sheamus, where the heels blame Sheamus and his group for not getting the job done, and you know McMahon, you know, chastises them for failing. And so then Hunter says, well, I got to go bring out a big gun and bring back Brock Lesnar. So that could be a direction because, like you said, they sped this up very quickly. They pushed this forward very, very, very quickly in a matter of a couple of days. So I can see them bringing back Brock to be a top opponent for Reigns going into Rumble season and coming out of Rumble season, going into WrestleMania season. I really think that Brock will win the Rumble. And they will have Brock as the hired assassin going against Roman Reigns and play off of that dynamic with the authority in the background or hovering over things, depending on how way you look at it. But, yeah, I think there will be something where Brock comes back as a hired gun, and that's how they try to keep it interesting with Reigns and the authority. So, you know, like you said, they could have Reigns win the Rumble, but I think that would have been too much. For people to kind of take. So I think they went this route, which was have him just be up the authority. And people like Reigns because he destroys Vince and Hunter. and that's where the build-up is. So, and, yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, Jonathan. It's really interesting to see the change in direction that they took the last couple of days. Appreciate the call, and good to hear from you, Jonathan. Let's go next to the 717 area code. Welcome to show 717. Please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Mark from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Mark, good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a pretty good show tonight. I mean, they kind of shot all their bullets off in one, you know, one show there. Mm-hmm. But I'm picking Kevin Owens to win the Rumble.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good. That's a bold pick. I like it.
I think it's a definite. I mean, some people tried to say last night maybe that was punishment, taking the belt off with no story and build-up and stuff like that. But I think we're going to see Kevin Owens win the Rumble, maybe even a match with Brock in the next year coming up. But, hey, this is the first time in, what, probably 10 years that they had a title change on Monday Night Raw. So at least it did something new.
Oh, wow, yeah, that is historical. You're right. You know, when you said that, I'm going to come right back to you, Mark. That you said that, that made me think, okay, you could have you could have Brock win the title from Reigns before WrestleMania, and then you have a Reigns-Hunter match, and then you would have with Owens winning the Rumble, then you could have Brock and Owens for the title at WrestleMania with a side match of Reigns and Hunter. So that is a possibility. I'm not going to rule that out because it is a possibility, with the idea being, how do we get to Reigns and Hunter at WrestleMania with the title not being in the mix? Well, you need to have somebody big enough to beat Reigns for the title, and that would be Brock Lesnar. And then if you had Owens win the Rumble, then you'd have a built-in Brock and Owens match. Yeah, I did not see last night as punishment for Owens at all. I saw that as, well, we needed a babyface to win last night, you know, because they had pretty much all heels going over, and they had Ambrose win last second, and that put maybe Owens on a different path as well. As you mentioned, maybe Owens goes on a path to become a destructive force, almost like the Samoa Joe of the main roster, and then you match up Owens and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, as the rumor is, and that could be a way to get to that point. So it's out there as a possibility, very much so. And that would get you to Hunter and Reigns at WrestleMania. Mark, go ahead with your follow-up on that.
Also, another question for you. What do you think of the Tyler Breeze on the main roster now? I mean, is he just going to get lost in the shuffle, or do you think they're going to do something with this guy?
Yeah. They have really established him as a mid-card enhancement talent. Jobber. I mean, he's, you know, they see him at a certain level as an introductory character who is a little bit above an Adam Rose, but a lot below a Kevin Owens. You know, you compare the way Kevin Owens was introduced. He was introduced as a hired gun by Triple H. He won an introductory match against John Cena. Yeah, he ended up losing the series to Cena, but he did win that very first match against Cena, and he got three really good and big spotlight matches with Cena. That's a pretty good way to be introduced. Tyler Breeze is not being introduced that way. Breeze is a guy to be an enhancement talent for mid-card babyfaces. That's kind of where they have him slotted. I mean, I think it's disappointing for people who are for fans of Breeze on NXT, but that's the way that McMahon views him, is as a heel mid-card talent to enhance other guys and get a lot of, you know, take a lot of losses. You know, maybe one day he breaks out from that. But right now, that's where they have him slotted. I know it's disappointing for people, but that's the introduction for him. Mark, I appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you. Let's go next to the 630 area code. 630, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Adrian from Aurora. How are you doing?
Hey, Adrian, always good to hear from you. What's your mind tonight?
Yeah, I wonder what the rating's going to be for that third hour now that you've got Vince McMahon on there. Uh-huh. Because it was unannounced, for one. Mm-hmm. I guess they figure with the pay-per-view that should get some viewers on there, so it'll be kind of interesting. I just basically watched the whole thing after it was over with, when I saw that Roman had won. I wanted to take a look and see how it went, and it was pretty good. I don't think it's going to be sustainable, as most of the calls have mentioned. I don't think we're going to get 10 years of Roman Reigns like we got of John Cena. I think he's going to be the last of that type of guy, because I don't think the people have that much patience for that anymore.
That's a good point.
It's a totally different time. Mm-hmm. And I think Roman is he's doing okay, I guess, for right now. And I guess that's pretty much it. I was kind of disappointed, though, one thing, though, because he didn't get the confetti like he did the other time when he won the championship. I was kind of expecting that, and I was kind of disappointed in that. But overall, I think it's good for right now. We'll see how that works as far as a boost, and we'll go from there. But overall, it was a pretty decent show.
I'm with you, Adrian. I'm very curious what the rating is overall. And also, like you said, the third hour. I mean, the third hour has been just brutalized throughout the fall season. Short notice title match with McMahon back on the show. What does that translate to for the third hour of Raw, especially with an ice cold heel champion and a guy who just last Monday was in a bomb segment at the end of the last Monday show? So, what kind of change is there? A shift in the audience perception? Just based on one night at TLC and just based on McMahon coming back, is there a shift in perception of Reigns because of that? I'm very curious, because, there have been times this year where we're like, okay, Brock Lesnar's back, should be a ratings pop. Okay, Sting has his very, very, very first ever Raw WWE TV televised match, no ratings pop. Again, short notice. And these did not lead to any sort of ratings growth or even a pop. There were no ratings pops for those sort of things. Sting's first match, short notice, and then Brock Lesnar coming back. Undertaker this summer, no ratings pop. It was just a status quo. So is this the one? Is this the one that makes the difference? That we shall see. We shall see about that. Great call, Adrian. Appreciate your phone call. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our last caller of the night, 513 area code. You're up next. 513, please state your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, James. This is Chris from Cincinnati.
Hey, Chris. Good to hear from you again. What's your Monday night?
First of all, I thought this was a pretty good Raw. Mm-hmm. It felt good to see Reigns win the title because, like Jason said, we've had mostly heel champions. But going forward, I think for the next 6 weeks, they should kind of tell the story of, like, now Reigns is the champion, so he has that target on his back. Plus, he pissed off the owners of the company. So, like, all of the heels should be trying to kill this man to get in their good graces. So they should do that. But then I'm torn on, like, Reigns versus Triple H at WrestleMania. Because it seems too soon to do Reigns versus Triple H at Mania, but I think SummerSlam would be too late. And I don't think it fits Triple H's character to have Lesnar beat Reigns at this point after what Reigns did to him. So what do you think about that? And then I would follow up.
Sure. Yeah. I'd be okay with an old school bounty, where Hunter comes on TV when he comes back from, selling the injuries, and he puts a bounty on Reigns' head, and whichever heel takes him down by whatever definition that is, gets $500,000 or gets a title shot or gets the number 30 spot in the Rumble, and just put an incentive on it. Have Reigns have to avoid all those guys for, however long he has to avoid them until the Rumble or whenever. Yeah, so I'd be in favor of a little old school storyline there. I don't know if they'll do it, but I think it'd be kind of fun to have that and have Reigns be chased by all these heels for weeks and weeks and weeks and then be unsuccessful and try to create a fun angle with the babyface champion, because like you guys have said, we've had so many heel champions who have been chased by unsuccessful babyfaces that, let's flip it around and have some fun with it and have a babyface be chased by heels and kind of knock down the heels one by one, as they're unsuccessful in trying to chase him down. So, yeah, I'd be good with that. But will they go old school? Probably not. But I think that at the very least, they will definitely have the authority trying to track down and take down Reigns and stop at all costs to do so and just try to take him down as much as they can. There's a lot of stuff they can explore with this. And Chris, I'll throw it back to you for your follow-up on that. Another question.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And then from there, like, maybe have Triple H win the Rumble. And then I would just have Reigns just in their whole storyline, Reigns versus Triple H, maybe have Daniel Bryan come out and endorse Reigns. Reigns beats him. The authority is over. And then the next night on Raw, Daniel Bryan can be the new neutral general manager because, you know, if they don't want him to wrestle anymore, he could do well in that spot, I think.
Yeah, so I think we need a period I think the general manager concepts and authority figures concept is sort of dated and it's passé and it's past its time. But you're right on. And if they were going to continue that, I think it would be nice to have a fun authority figure. I mean, we've been through the depressing and the beat down period of time, and have Daniel Bryan be a permanent authority figure. And be antagonized by heels and sort of defend or at least make things fair for babyfaces and establish an era of you know competition, and you get title shots by having big time victories, and you earn things by winning, and you're not rewarded for outside interference, just things like that, where you can have a whole new era and end the authority figure era or in the authority era at WrestleMania and introduce a new era with Bryan and have a more fun era. I think it's been sort of a depressing 3-year run, 2.5-year run with the authority on top. It's just been too many depressing Raws and too many depressing storylines, Seth Rollins and Kane and, just the bickering and all that kind of stuff. And, I think it'd be nice to have Daniel Bryan be, a neutral, fun, engaging authority figure to kind of help a new era of WWE and have this era with Hunter and all that kind of be put in the past. Will they do that? I don't know. I don't know, but we'll find out all together. So, well, that'll do it for me on the livecast post-game show. It's been fun talking to you guys here on the show, and appreciate you guys' support of the livecast. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, but tune in tomorrow at 5 Eastern for Wade Keller and Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net. Should be a fun show with more of their thoughts on Raw and TLC. And again, Stone Cold Podcast with Wade Keller this week, so be on the lookout for that. We'll have an update on that at pwtorch.com when that hits. So until then, thank you guys for your support of the livecast. Appreciate you guys listening here at pwtorchlivecast.com or pwtorchvip.com. On behalf of Torch columnist Pat McNeil, this is Torch assistant James Calder signing off with Kid John Bridges playing us out. We'll talk to you again next Monday night on the Raw Postgame Show.